I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name or my side project, Midnight Soundtrack, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists or directing and editing music videos and music documentaries. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Marcio Novelli.
Our new shirts have arrived and are available to purchase on our website. There's a link in our show notes, so go get them.
And we have a cool coupon code, BTARocks. So just enter that in during your shopping, what would you call it, Ross? During the checkout, that's it. And you get 10% off your purchase. It's just our little way of saying thank you. You rock, and thanks for supporting the show.
Joining us this week out of California is Nate Barkalow, vocalist of Finch, Earthbound Ghost, Reverend Crow, and now Private Lives. With Finch, Nate released 3 EPs and 3 studio albums, and What Is to Burn is considered by many, including myself and I'm sure Marcio, as one of the most influential post-hardcore records of the 2000s.
This is true. Nate has most recently embarked on a new project with Kenny Finn called Private Lives, and we're excited to hear more about that, his career in general, and the advice he'd offer to his fellow musicians. So I'm very excited to welcome Nate to the show. How's it going?
Hi. Good. Very good.
Let's get awkward right off the bat, and if you wouldn't mind telling us 3 things about yourself that you think everyone should know.
Let's see. I'm very introverted. That's important. I don't know. I love music, obviously.
For sure.
And I love pizza.
I mean, you know, I don't think we can disagree with you on any of those.
No.
Pretty
I think anyone who doesn't like pizza is probably not worth speaking to.
You know what? It's one of those things I don't trust anyone who doesn't like music. There's just some people who don't, I don't really like music. And I'm just like,
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's a little scary.
I'm like, don't like music, sociopath. It's pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah, I could agree. So Nate, I'd love to talk about what you've got going on right now with Private Lives.
Yeah.
I was listening to all the tracks that you put out on Bandcamp earlier, and I really enjoy like the kind of electronic sort of vibe that you've got going on. And I think that paired with your voice is a really interesting combination. I'd like to find out a bit, you know, you've been releasing tracks online as like a steady stream of singles rather than going for like and waiting and putting out an EP or an album all at once. But are there plans for an EP or a full length album? And, you know, basically, when can we hear more?
Yeah, I think right now the goal is to just have people hear what we're doing so far. We long term, we do really want to do a record, a full record. So I think right now we're kind of just considering these songs demo versions of songs that we've got finished, and we just want to share them with people and get people into the band and know what it sounds like and all that stuff. So,
well, I was going to ask, there's a bit of strategy here, right? Not like overly strategic, but just the idea of slowly giving people something to at least get familiar with what you guys are doing without too much pressure, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people are asking, are you guys going to do an EP? Are you going to do a record? And like I said, we want to do a record, but we're just kind of just still writing right now. And as we write, we just release what we've created. So that's kind of the process right now, just to keep people interested who are interested.
Do you take any of the feedback that you might be getting from some songs into your creative process, into the writing of future songs? Not that you would completely I don't think that you would completely take that to what direction you're going to take, but is it a little bit of an influence of where you think people are going to be, what they're going to be digging? My very long-winded question.
No, not really. I mean, we kind of just make music and then put it out. So, I mean, one of the songs we put out, I was really worried about it. I was like, man, people aren't going to like this. Like, this is so weird and different. And I was totally wrong. Like, that they loved that one, you know? So I don't know what people like anymore. We just kind of make music that we want to hear and that we think is fun to create. So if people are on board with that, that's great. If not, you know, that's okay too.
Well, isn't that the whole idea? Just like do what you like. And then, you know, I feel like if you're going to like it, someone else out there in this very big world will probably dig it too.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it's supposed to be, I think.
Exactly.
Just kind of do what makes you happy. And if other people like it, then that's great.
Exactly. Well, you know what? You've been a part of various projects over the years. You know, do you feel like you're in a very free position right now to really explore and just almost go in a new direction musically? And also, I want to know, you know, how do you approach writing differently for a project like Private Lives versus the bands you've been a part of?
I think, well, at least I had a specific idea of what I wanted Private Lives to sound like. And it was more of, me and Kenny are both like sci-fi fans and, you know, we like electronics and stuff like that. So we're just kind of melding all these ideas together of sci-fi and fantasy and maybe like a little bit of 80s and technology and stuff like that and kind of going that way. And most of the other bands I've been in, they've all been rock bands, you know, which is fine. But I feel like as I get older, I just kind of want to explore different avenues as far as like what I'm capable of. Like, I don't know, maybe pop music or, you know, whatever, anything. Just try all avenues to see what fits, you know. So I think that's kind of the point behind Private Lives is we're just, you know, we're just exploring, really.
Well, I mean, Ross and I are huge supporters of just doing whatever the hell you want to do. You know what I mean? I think it's people are quite open now. I think a decade ago and definitely before then, it was very much you had to be doing one thing. If you veered from that, people would view you in a bad light. But now I think generally the mood is people are quite open to different styles of music. You know, I know when I was a kid, it was, you know, people you had to almost... It was kind of, I never did, but you kind of had to pick a style in a clique you were a part of, unfortunately.
Yeah,
no,
I was going to say that, like, definitely when I was kind of like 18 or so, when kind of the post-hardcore thing kind of got big in the UK, I think that was probably a couple of years after it got big in North America. But I know that so many people were, the fans themselves, not necessarily musicians, but the fans felt like they could only listen to stuff that was in that genre. And if they listened to something else, then... you know, the world would end. Like they couldn't let anyone
right,
else know
exactly.
That they liked a pop song on the radio because that would ruin all credibility that they had.
Right, yeah.
But
right.
But I was never like that because I loved all of the kind of acoustic singer songwriter stuff. Like that's what I really liked. But then it was like kind of gradually got more into the heavier stuff. And I was like, it's fine to like both. In fact, it's good to like both.
Absolutely.
It's good to like 10, 20 different genres because you're not always going to be in the mood for something like angry that's like screaming.
No, I'd be flipping back between Dashboard, Finch, and Slipknot. You know what I mean? Because why yeah. not? They're all great. You know what I mean? Well, you know, just kind of going on that, the last thing I asked you there, I guess what I really want to know is if you approach the actual songwriting differently, you know, for any of your band projects versus this new avenue that you're going in. Do you actually approach the songwriting differently?
Yeah, I mean... When I was in, you know, Finch or Reverend Crow or anything like that, it was always rock and it was always like you kind of specifically write for that band or write for that genre. And if you kind of veer from that as you're writing, you're like, no, this isn't going to work. Like, let's start over. I think with Private Lives, it's just we just come up with skeletons of ideas and then we build on that. And sometimes the song will completely change into something else and totally pump us up. And then we're like, yeah, let's go that way with it, you know. So it's a little different in that aspect where it's really like anything goes and we're just trying to stick with that for now because it seems to be working. So
sounds exciting.
It is. Like, it's very, really it's exciting. Very exciting. Yeah, you know, it's liberating to right. just be like, let's just play whatever we want, and if it works out, it does. If not, whatever, skip it Absolutely. And go to Nuna.
So, you know, I've got to bring it to this a little bit. You know, you must be feeling a lot less pressure with this project. Did you feel a lot of pressure with the last Finch album, for example, not having released anything for like a decade, and then everyone's expecting to hear something, you know, and I'm sure it's everyone wanting to hear something that, you know, another What It Is to Burn record. And I'm sure you don't want to do what you've done when you were like 15 years ago, you know what I mean? So is there, if
no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so was there like a difference in like how much pressure you felt with something like that versus this new project?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, like I said, this new project's pretty anything goes, where, you know, Finch, there was kind of a set style. And even though we kind of veered from that on the second record, on Sunshine, we kind of were just record. Like, F everybody, we're going to do whatever we want. Even that, there was kind of a set style, and I had my writing style and vocal or lyrically and vocally and stuff. So it was always trying to stay true to that and not veer too much from what we used to do. And it was hard to keep that balance because a lot of people just wanted the first record over and over and over again.
Well,
know?
Just as a side note, man,
that gets stale to me. Like, I get bored. So,
right. Well, I'm a huge fan of What Is Spirit, but I also loved Say Hello and Sunshine. I thought it was a great record. And I thought that it was actually, it benefited, in my opinion, from not being What Is Spirit, because that was its own thing, you know? And like, I feel like, just like you're saying, why do the exact same record again and again? You know, some of my favorite bands, they don't do the same record again and again. Yeah. You know, it's the songwriting, it's the growth, it's the vocalist, you know, so there's a lot to that. That's my little bit, if it matters. Yeah.
I mean, it all matters.
A lot of people don't understand that. I mean, it's hard when you're in a band on the inside trying to create something great for people to listen to, and then the people on the outside don't understand what it takes to make that. So then, you know, they're throwing out their opinions and like, I just want to hear this, and why can't you guys just do this? And it's rough. It's hard to make everyone happy, you know?
Well, even within the band, I'm sure you're working with five different personalities. It's like, and everyone wants to be happy, and that's not always going to happen.
No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's just like anything. It's like any team, any friendship, any relationship, there's going to be disagreements. People want to go in different ways, but I totally understand, you know, not wanting to make the same record again. I personally wouldn't have wanted to hear What It Is to Burn take two.
Yeah.
You know, I loved that record for being that record. And the second record, I think, you know, I loved in a different way, but probably around about the same amount. And yeah, you grow as people. So, you know, you can't just repeat yourself over and over again like I think I'm doing right now.
You know? Reiterating, we get it.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
So I'd be interested to know, because obviously when Finch first kind of came out, that was like back in 2002, you signed to Drive Thru. Everything's a pretty different place. You know, the music industry is in a pretty different place. Now, obviously, social media plays a much bigger role than it did back then, because back then it wasn't really as prominent as it is now. With Private Lives, how are you using social media? Are you kind of having to learn it now, you know, rather, because it's not something that you had to do as a band back in the day? Back in the
day. I kind of got into social media late anyway. Like the whole deal. I'm still really pretty shitty with computers and all that, but obviously it's funny because the name Private Lives is a little tongue in cheek in that sense, because it came from me thinking that like everything is online now and everybody's online with their social media and everybody's lives are just out in the open and no one has a private life anymore. I mean, people have private lives, but it's very rare, and the things that are kept private are either really nasty, really scary, or really bad, you know? So the fact that we were calling ourselves Private Lives is kind of a play on that, like you know, no one really has a private life anymore. It's all out in the open. But we use social media to promote our band. So it's kind of give and take, but
well, you can still be a part of an industry that you criticize.
Yeah, no,
be part of something and criticize.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the world we live in, but yeah. So that's kind of where the name came from. But we do use all the social media tools to let people know what's going on, because that's really the best advertisement you can get. You know, it's free.
So, yeah, absolutely. And you can be your own publicist.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know what? Let's just jump right into this. Let's have a little bit of fun. Are you ready for 20 questions?
I think so.
I feel like a showman. Like, are you ready for 20 questions? And I feel like something's gonna like.
I almost feel like you need a costume change every time you do 20 questions.
Costume change with a bunch of gold glitter and like things popping behind me. Like, whee!
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter. If I had to choose.
You have
TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Studio or stage?
Ooh, studio.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
I'm asking this one, Russ. Deftones or Glassjaw?
Deftones.
Education or experience?
Ooh, that's rough. I'd say experience.
Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead?
Game of Thrones.
Talent or attitude?
Ooh, talent.
Canada or Scotland?
Canada.
Yes, I got one. Canada got one. But you guys have a lot of support here. You got to say Canada.
Well, yeah.
Had a lot of support in Scotland too.
No, not support in Canada.
Style or substance?
Substance.
Agreed. Family Guy or American Dad?
Family Guy.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Jackson.
Like, that's even a question, right?
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Ooh.
Talking about movies or the TV show?
Oh, well, both.
I hadn't thought that
one
hard.
One for each.
Because I love the old Star Trek TV show, but
okay.
I'd have to say Star Wars.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Now, really don't overthink this. We don't really know what this question is. Whale or kale?
Whale.
Good choice.
Is that
no explanation needed? You don't need to explain it.
Okay. We're as confused as you are.
It's like, is that wrong? Is that the wrong answer?
No, we've had that question since the beginning, and we just haven't changed it because people get so confused by it, and we're still very confused by it. So whatever.
It's like, I mean, if it comes down to eating one of them, kale, but it's like something you want to look at, or probably a whale. I don't know.
Exactly. I don't think kale is that interesting to look at.
No.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
Before we ask this question. And I'm almost scared because I'm going to totally like basically lobby you on this one. And then if I lose this, it's going to be even worse. So, okay. I've been following, I love what you've done since the beginning. I was a fan of Drive Thru Records before you guys have been signed. And I remember when you guys first, I remember the story you guys getting signed. I remember I just a huge fan growing up as a teenager. When I first saw you guys at Warped Tour, I can't remember, this must've been early 2000s. I wish I could find this picture. I know it's online somewhere, so I'll put it up on the screen here. I am like a 16 or 17 year old punk with like bright red Mike Shinoda, early Linkin Park days, spiky hair. And I got a photo with you back then. And I've just been following you guys, you know, following what you've done and various projects, of course, in Finch and various projects down over the years. Love what you do. Huge inspiration on me and my music over the years. And I mean, that's just the short of it. So, I mean... Now, Ross, you can go ask the question.
Well, hang on, Marcio. You know, I actually may have something to add to this. So, I studied popular music performance at college. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
I just know you're going to win.
And for one of our classes, we had to write about a vocalist. And yeah, I picked Nate Barkalow.
I didn't get
also
hate.
I wore a Finch, and I also wore a Finch shirt in one of my school pictures, and my mom was like, "You cannot have that as your school pictures. Like, you should have worn something smarter." But nope, I was wearing a Finch shirt.
Okay,
it was way
gonna,
too big for me.
This.
By the way,
in my old high school band, Article 19, we used to cover "Where It Is to Burn." I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but I used to scream. Just because you scream, so I would scream, and I would totally shoot my voice out for like 2 weeks. So I ended up going to a vocal coach, who's actually one of my best friends now, Jen. And she still tells me to this day. I went to her and I said, "Look, I already know how to sing. I just need to learn how to scream." And she's like a classically trained. She looks at me like, "Okay." So I mean, you know, there's
did
that.
She give you any tips that worked?
Well, actually, yeah, just learning how to even breathe properly and sing properly actually helps you scream, you know, without hurting yourself. But there's just a whole guttural scream that you can't even, it just has to come from,
I don't know why I did this. That did not, that was not, I mean, down here.
Here.
It comes from right here.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's see, Ross, you going to ask this question or what?
I think I've got a feeling which way this is going to go.
No, I have a feeling. Okay, you ask the question. You just ask.
Okay. If you haven't guessed already, the question is Ross or Marcio.
That's not fair.
That's why we're lobbying.
You guys going to make me choose, really?
Well, let's just... Ross, I'm very sensitive. I mean, Ross can get over these things. Like, you know, Ross is fine. I'm really trying for this. All right.
Basically, Marcio needs this more than I do, so...
No, you know, it's cool. Whatever. Just follow your heart, Nate. You're someone who follows your heart. So, you know, just follow your heart.
This is tough, man. I like you guys. I like both you guys. This is tough. Can I opt out of this one?
Yes. Because I don't want to lose. Yeah. Just say, like, Ross.
Can you imagine
Ross.
If we just would carry this on for 20 minutes? Like, no, you have to pick. You have to pick.
Literally, like, looking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
One of my past guests described it as Sophie's Choice, and that was probably one of the most, you know.
You guys save this to the end for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we don't want to make any enemies right in the first 2 minutes. You
exactly.
Know?
We save it for near the end, but we still got a couple more for you, a couple more questions for you.
All right. Yeah, I'm not one for breaking anyone's heart right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. So I'd love to kind of dive into a little bit of advice that you might have for some other musicians. So for musicians who want to explore some other genres, so maybe they've been writing in a specific genre for a while, what advice would you give them when it comes to writing for a new project? Is there a way to clearly differentiate what belongs to each project?
That's a good question.
Kind of flexible than that,
especially if you're doing two at once or something. Or
if you're doing two at well, you know, projects that are all active at the same time. At least for me, it was easy to know. Like when you're writing something, you're just like, "Oh, this feels more like this band or like this band." It's kind of a feeling you get inside. But if you're kind of branching out and you want to do something different and you're not a part of your old project anymore, I would just say no fear. Just don't be afraid of anything. You know, you got to stay true to yourself and your music that you make. So in that aspect, you can't really worry about what other people are going to think. So I would just say, you know, you got to be true to yourself and just do what you want to do, because it's the only way it's going to work out, really. Once you start making art and things for other people and for a specific reason other than you like it, then it starts going bad.
Before I ask you this next question, I want to address the elephant on the internet, I guess I would say, not in the room. I guess we're not in the same room. But, you know, what's what I'm looking for? I mean, it's obvious that there's some turmoil going on with you and Finch right now, with your past bandmates. I guess I just want to give you an opportunity to maybe give people your side of the story, and let people know the situation from your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a long story, but, I mean, we started, yeah, I guess summer 2015, we started writing a new record, and everything was good. We were all on the same page. Everybody was stoked. And so we in turn gave those to our management, and they passed them on to the label that we were on at the time. And someone at the label was saying like, oh, these are okay, but they're skeptical. So they said they wanted to hear us with a producer, which is kind of weird, but we're like, okay, we'll give it a shot. So we got this producer who was more of a co-writer. And he got involved and kind of started getting really hands-on and writing things. And, you know, he said he was into the demos that we had, but he wanted to maybe keep two or three of them. So that to me was like, okay, you want to throw these away? That's great. And write more songs that sounded like the ones they posted. So then, you know, he was really hands-on and writing stuff. And being a musician and getting in a room after being in a band for so long, being like, we got this handled, we can write our own music, and having somebody be like, yeah, I can do this, you know, suggesting melodies to me and picking up instruments and writing parts for people. I was just like, I can't do that. It's just not who I am. So, we did two songs with him. And after that, I was just like, I don't want to work with this guy. Can't do it. And the band was like, oh, all right, like, that's, you know, that's cool. We don't have to work with him. So they can, but they continued to work with him. They went out there a couple times without me and kept working with him. So I was like, whatever, I guess we'll come back to the demos whenever we can. So that went on for a while, and we kind of argued about using that guy. And I said, I can't work with him. So we ended up firing that guy, and we sent the songs that we did with him, we sent to the label, and they passed on us. So
not to laugh at that, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so it is interesting. So they passed. So I was like, okay, so we're done with this guy, right? So like, let's get back to work. And everybody was like, yeah, we'll get back to work. Kind of just stopped working on stuff. And I mean, we tried, but it was kind of push and pull. And then I guess we were talking. Okay, so so then we started talking about doing like an ad campaign, like a fan funded, like raise money so we can make our own record.
Oh, crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So
right.
we talked about doing that a little bit, and so that was up in the air. And then we kind of stopped working and stopped talking. And so I had texted the guys and was like, when's the ad campaign happening? And they're like, you know, we need to take a break, and you know, maybe we'll come back to it in a couple months. And at that time I had a lot of my own stuff going on. So I was like, all right, whatever. We'll take a break. That's fine. Come back to it in a couple months. That was in March. It was March 1st. And then April 22nd, 23rd, they announced on Instagram that they were going to make a record with Buddy. Which is how I found out about it, by the way, was on Instagram. So that sucked for me, you know, and I felt trashed. Like, I was just like, okay, they don't want to make a record with me, so I'm done. Like, you know, I guess they don't want to work with me. So I was like, whatever, I'll just do something else. So I started Private Lives, started doing that for a while. Didn't hear from anybody. Then eventually they started texting me and were like, hey, we got some tour offers. And I'm just like, if you don't want to work on a new record, you don't want to release anything new, you just want to go on tour, no thanks. Pretty much. So yeah, then it got left to that. And then they started doing all their stuff with Buddy, and I started doing my stuff. And then after a while, it was just nobody was talking. And then eventually I got locked out of the social media. And so then I was like, okay, they really don't want to work with me. They don't want anything to do with me. And then I got blocked from the social media. And then I was just like, this is too much, man. I was just like, fire me, you know, like, if you don't want to work with me, fire me. So I just ended up telling them like, I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to do it. So I posted my thing. I gave the world a goodbye, the best I could. Tried to keep it simple and not throw anybody under the bus or start any drama. And then they posted their thing. So, I mean, that was that.
Well, thank you for sharing.
It got really ugly. I mean, I wish it. I really wish it didn't go down like that. But
so what, so you, what posted you posted was the demos that you guys did, not the work you did with that producer co-writer.
No, those were the demos. Those were the demos that we all were behind, and we were all 100% on, and we were stoked on those. And that was basically the record. It was pretty much done. All we had to do was get it finished.
Right.
But they chose, I mean, you know, they wanted to work with that producer and kind of chose to do that rather than.
And what did they post? What they posted was the work with the producer?
Those two songs were the songs we did with that producer, yes. It's bittersweet because, you know, everybody's saying it could have been our best record yet and our best record since What Is a Burn. And like, that's depressing to me because I wanted, you know, nothing more than to make that record. But
I guess this is an interesting question, but because you never know what the future holds, obviously, but do you think there's any way at all that you guys could work this out?
I mean, right now, probably not. things are pretty ugly. I mean, other than what was seen on Facebook and, you know, all the slander and all that stuff, I had some words of my own for, you know, some of the members of the band, and maybe I shouldn't have sent some of those text messages, but I did, and, you know, things are pretty bad right now, but right now, probably not, because this has actually happened before, which they were trying to make my fault as well. You know, we were working on a new record, and they didn't want to make the record. They just want to go on tour and play all the old stuff over and over again and make quick cash or whatever they want to call it.
Right.
So I did the same thing then. I walked away then, too. I was like, if we're not going to progress, if we're not going to go anywhere, what's the point? And it kind of happened again. So I feel like we're just going to keep making the same mistakes. I'd rather just do something else. I know it sucks for the fans and sucks for everybody, but I don't know what else to do.
Well, we don't want you making music and you're not happy though.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. I was like, it's because it's not really fun. You know, it's not really enjoyable for the fans. If we can tell that one person is on a different page and doesn't really want to be doing what they're doing, like, it's not enjoyable for you. It's not enjoyable for the rest of your bandmates, and it's not enjoyable for the fans. So I think it's not an easy decision, and it probably hurts to walk away. But I think it probably is the right decision, at least, you know, right now. You know, if things are ugly, then you don't want to be working together. It's not going to be a good environment for anyone. So it's not going to be good for anyone. So I think, you know, definitely at this point, it's probably the right thing to do.
Obviously, we all hope that, you know, you guys can figure something out and finish that record, you know, down the road. But I mean, it is what it is. And you guys are humans. You guys are, you know, people are going to want things, but I mean, and we all do, but you got to listen to your heart, man. And, you know, we're really excited to hear what you're doing with Private Lives. If there's a band right now that's listening to this and some members are clashing or there's some creative differences, you know, what advice would you offer them to how to handle that?
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, here. I mean, I wish I had a good answer for that. It just depends, because I've met a lot of people in bands that, you know, they'll have one or two nice guys in the band and the rest of them are douches, you know, or they're all douches, or like they're all nice guys. It's just, it depends on the personality. And if the personalities can't be adults and work things out, you know, and when ego gets in the way and stuff like that, then sometimes it's just, you can't work it out, but you got to try. And I know that's weird for me to say, like, you know, we could have tried to work it out, but I've done that so many times. I've just done it before. It drains you, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I guess my advice would just to be real with each other and just be honest. And if at the end of that honesty, you still can't get it together, then maybe you shouldn't be together. You know, it's just like a marriage. It really is. It's like being married. sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes people grow apart. It's life.
That's the best way to put it. You know what? Not everyone's going to be happy about it, you know, and sometimes kids have to pick, you know, and it's kind of like kids are like the fans, right? And
yeah,
so I get it, man. Well, honestly, man, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Really. Where's the best place for people to find you online? Are you basically, is it basically just through the band, through Private Lives?
Oh, like me, just myself?
Yeah, people want to connect with you and send you some love.
I had a Facebook. I think I got rid of it because I didn't want to deal with it. I'm on Instagram though. Organs in Orbit.
Okay. Is that your main place then?
Yeah, that's really where I'm at. And then other than that, there's a Private Lives Facebook, there's an Instagram and a Twitter. So we're all on those. And, I read those messages and stuff. So, I mean,
that's how we connected.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there we go.
Awesome. And you can find our show on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. Just search for Bridge the Atlantic and you'll find us. Don't forget to also visit our website and pick up one of our shirts while you're there. We wear them as often as we can. So
it's my Tuesday attire. Every Tuesday, I don't have to think of what I'm wearing. I just look in my closet. Which color of the, what, 7 colors that we have? I'm like, I'm going to wear black today. It's as simple as that. Anyways, as for me personally, I'm working on my second solo album, and you can be a part of it at marcianavelli.com/pledge. Please help make it happen. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcianavelli.
I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, Joe Centenary, The Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soap Company, 30 Roses, Wendell Donaldson, and Social Search. We're getting so many awesome sponsors, it's hard for me to say it in one breath. So all the links to them, their companies, are in the show notes, so please check them out, because they really do keep the show alive and allow us to talk to awesome people like Nate here.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show and receive a free t-shirt, please visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. You can support us for as little as $1 per episode, all the way up to $25 per episode. And we love you all equally, no matter how much you spend.
They're like all our kids, right? Depending on if one succeeds better, that's okay. You know, we still love you. We still love you. No, anyway, seriously, man, this has been such an honor. It really has been. You know, we've been following you for a long time. We love what you do, but we're adults now. I mean, you get it. We're your person.
We've grown up with you, Nate.
You know, exactly. We really have. But no, we appreciate you coming on here, and I hope you had fun, man.
I did. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It was fun. I had a good time.
Awesome. Come back.
I feel like I know you guys like really well.
I know. That's the way, man.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.